beleaguered retail holding company Edcon, which has been in voluntary business rescue since May following the initial hard lockdown in the country, has served up retrenchment notices to 22,000 of its workers. The company runs the Edgars and Jet stores, among others. The company has been in existence for 90 years, but in recent years, it's had to endure a tough operating environment with increased competition in the retail sector. And more recently, it's citing the long-standing load shedding that took place prior to COVID hitting our shores and the COVID-related initial 35-day lockdown, which cost the company 2 billion rand in revenue, as key reasons for being hard hit as it's been. To discuss this story further, I'm joined on the line by Chris Gilmore. He's an independent analyst with a penchant for the retail sector. Thanks very much, Chris, for joining us. What an incredibly sad outcome for a company that's endured many different seasons during its 90-year existence. In a way, when Edcon CEO Grant Patterson cried as he warned creditors and suppliers about the company's fate just before the country went into lockdown, he could already see the writing on the wall, it seems.
No, absolutely. What we didn't know, I mean, and I think what a lot of us intuitively thought was we were going to get 3 weeks and then that was going to be it. Three weeks turned into 5 weeks, which in turn turned into indefinite. So from a clothing retailer's perspective, like Edcon, they got the worst of all worlds, really. After 3 weeks, you know, they were told that they had to go in for another 2 weeks. And then even when they were allowed to trade, you know, you couldn't buy open-toed sandals and things like that. It was micromanaged to the nth degree. Mm. So, yes, I mean, it didn't take a genius to work out that things were really, really bad long before we actually went into a physical lockdown itself.
Yeah.
With lots of shoppers diverting spending from clothing, for example, into food, this type of thing. But yeah, it's got progressively worse. And now, and unfortunately, as you say, we're now looking at the strong likelihood that it might not recover at all.
Yeah. So the Edcon administrators are looking to sell off its various interests as going concerns. I suppose by retrenching so many workers beforehand, it will make potential buyer interest that much more certain, as they'll be buying something that's already leaner and meaner.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is effectively a precautionary move. So what they've done with the 189, Section 189 notices is basically to say to people, look, we're going ahead with the retrenchment process anyway. If the situation improves, if we find buyers for certain parts of the business, then, you know, these people may well be reinstated, you know, depending on what the new buyers, the new owners decide to do with it. But I think, as you know, we've said before, Nompu, that anything that does come out of Edcon is likely to be an awful lot meaner and leaner, as you say, a lot smaller. So it's not going to have the market share that the existing Edcon had.
Yes.
And so therefore, whatever happens, certain people are going to lose their jobs. I think that's an extremely unfortunate, but harsh and realistic fact of life.
Yeah. As a standalone, do you think Jet is perhaps a more appealing buy than, say, Edgar's, which is a less targeted type of store that relies on different people with different ages and different styles to pop in?
Theoretically, it should be, yes, because Jet is, as I say, theoretically, it should appeal more to the lower-end consumer. It is in itself more streamlined. Having said that, I've never been that impressed by Jet. You know, if you compare it head on with a Pep, for example, it's chalk and cheese. If you compare it with an Ackermans, it's chalk and cheese. I think those two others that I've mentioned do have a far better focus than the likes of a Jet, for example. So even there, I think you're likely to see a situation where you've got far more streamlining coming into play.
Yeah. For any investor buying Edgar's, what sort of re-engineering of the store would need to happen in order to keep it competitive and viable, especially in a climate where many businesses are having to rethink their business models in light of COVID and, of course, a slower economy?
Well, I think you've put your finger on it already. Edgar's was pretty much all things to all men and all women, in a sense they sold a wide variety of clothing. You know, it would have to be far more highly focused. It would have to appeal to I would say, predominantly a younger type of consumer. You know, it would have to get its pricing very, very right. Look, I mean, I think it's got a lot of those things right under Grant Patterson, but it would have to tighten up dramatically. So it wouldn't be able to follow the kind of semi-department store type of model at all. It would have to be a far tighter model that would come out of this.
Mm. Ultimately, Chris, in the South African context, the potential loss of 22,000 jobs implies a multiplier effect of maybe times five or even more than that. Over 100,000 will be materially affected by this. And this is a nightmare that seems to be playing out right across the many different sectors in our economy. How on earth can we get recovery from this type of jobs bloodbath?
Well, that's an incredibly good question, and it's difficult to see how you possibly can, because, you know, this is a situation that's been brought on the economy by the government in the same kind of way as the situation in the UK, in the US, and in many other parts of the world. You know, you've had these government regulations which state unequivocally that you have to lock down.
Hmm.
And it's taken a long time to get back to some degree of normality.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, this is a consequence of that. And there are many other reasons. Lots of people are being forced out of jobs in other parts of the economy, and the ability to spend money is just not there. So even if you had the absolute best-case scenario at Edcon, where you'd lose that many jobs, but even then you wouldn't have the demand out there.
Hmm.
So unfortunately, as you rightly say, you're going to be looking at, there's a multiplier effect. I would have said exactly that, about five times, maybe 100,000 people.
Hmm.
It just adds to this carnage, and no other word I can use, absolute real carnage. And an economy where you've got the highest rate, persistent rate of unemployment of any country in the world, that's something that we can do without.
Yeah. Your prognosis for the retail sector more broadly over the next sort of couple of years?
Extremely bleak. And I don't want to sound like an old curmudgeon here, but it's difficult to see light at the end of the tunnel, frankly.
Hmm.
Not when you've got a global economy that's cooling down the way this is. And we're expecting the IMF to come out with their forecast in the next day or two.
Yeah.
And they're now talking freely about a situation where they see very similar situations to the Great Depression of the 1930s.
Mm.
Well, if that's going to be the case, if the virus is going to be a factor with which South Africa and other countries are going to have to contend for the next few years, in the absence of a vaccine where you get a kind of swift rebound, then I think you're looking at a situation where consumers will not go out. They're not going to have the ability to spend. And South Africa, like many other countries in the world, is predominantly a consumer economy. And if the consumers aren't there, if they don't have the money, then by definition, it's extremely difficult to see how you can see a sector like retail spending flourishing. And quite the reverse, I think it's going to remain in steep decline for some time to come.
That was Chris Gilmore. He's an independent analyst.